The Headache and Migraine News Podcast. The latest news and tips for those with headaches, migraine, and cluster headache around the world with health writer and researcher James Cottrell.
Hello, and welcome to the Headache and Migraine News Podcast. I haven't done a podcast for a while, so I thought it was about time. And I'm going to introduce you today to a controversy that you may not know is out there, but that you should know about. And I'll warn you in advance, I'm not going to give you all the answers, but this is just a bit of an introduction to get you thinking and maybe give you a little bit of discernment about what supplements you should be taking and should not be taking. And this particular supplement we're going to be talking about today is butterbur. Butterbur, yeah. So butterbur is a plant that grows in the Northern Hemisphere, and it's used for herbal supplements, as many of you know. And you can use various parts of the plant for to make an herbal supplement. And actually, there's benefits and pros and cons to using different parts of the plant, but we won't get into all that at the moment. Really, in the 2000s, a lot of information started to come out about butterbur regarding its use for migraine, specifically as a migraine preventative. So people started trying this as a preventative, taking it daily, usually around 100, 150 milligrams per day, and you need to take it for 2, 3, 4 months to really see the benefit, as with a lot of preventatives. And so the studies were quite positive. For a supplement, this was looking really good. Now, of course, as this information comes out, there's a big rush to get more butterbur products to the market, and people are buying them, and a lot of excitement is going on. And there always is a little bit of concern and caution when all of a sudden a whole bunch of money starts going into something. Anyway, that's what happened, and there are a lot of people that have been helped by taking butterbur, especially butterbur along with other supplements, other treatments, along with medications, things like that. So, as with any herbal treatment, supplement, this is a complex thing. So you're not getting a highly refined chemical, one specific targeted thing, like you're getting in a lot of drugs. What you're getting is plant life. It's got various chemicals. It's got various properties, and those properties are not always completely understood. So you're not going to go online and find out exactly which chemical, which molecule is giving a benefit and exactly how it's working. There's a lot of speculation about exactly why butterbur may help with migraine and may even help with allergy-related things as an anti-inflammatory, various things like that. So there's a couple of things in butterbur supplements that are specifically of interest. So the active ingredient in butterbur that most people are concerned about are pitocines. So this is something you want to make sure you have a certain amount. You want to make sure, of course, as with drugs, supplements, things like that, there's a lot of fillers that go into these pills and capsules. So you want to make sure you're actually getting a good amount of butterbur, and especially the active ingredient. But there is also a specific type of ingredient that is a concern in butterbur, and those are pyrrolizidine alkaloids. So pyrrolizidine alkaloids, I can't even say it 2 times fast, never mind 5 times fast. But anyway, these are a concern because they can cause damage to your liver, give you gastrointestinal problems, nausea, can actually cause liver disease, and possibly even liver cancer. Well, we certainly do not want that in our butterbur, that is for sure. So, what happens? Well, this news comes out and a lot of labeling goes on. Our particular brand of butterbur does not contain any of these alkaloids. It contains lots of active ingredients. And so people are starting to look at the labels, make sure that they're getting a quality version of the supplement. Well, as you may guess, it's not quite that simple. for a number of reasons. Now, first of all, some testing started to be done on these supplements to see exactly how many active ingredients, how much of the active ingredient they had, and how much of these dangerous alkaloids they had, especially as compared to what was actually on the label. Unfortunately, these tests were a disaster. The results were all over the place. So in other words, you go to the store and you look at a label that says, oh, this is safe, this doesn't have any harmful alkaloids, it's got lots of active ingredients. You can't trust it, because there's just a lot of variety out there as far as what is actually true and what is false. In fact, you may even be looking at variety from bottle to bottle. So you have one single brand, one bottle may be all right, the next bottle may not be. So this has a lot to do with the manufacturing process that goes into the supplement, and it also has to do with, if believe it or not, the parts of the plant you use. So certain parts of the plant will have more or less of various chemicals in them, and so you're dealing with how things are manufactured. And again, money comes into this. How can we manufacture the supplement cheaply and make a big profit? So there was all of a sudden a lot of concern about Butterbur. So that's the first part of the controversy. Now here's the second thing. The question is, what exactly is a safe amount of these alkaloids? So for one thing, how much is safe to take? And so then we start talking about so much per billion, parts per billion, right, of this particular alkaloid. But then the next question is, how often? So some people are saying, okay, you can take so many parts per billion, but if you take it more than 6 months, that can be dangerous. And of course, this has to do with the speculation about how serious this could be to your liver. Could this cause cancer after a certain amount of time? It's not that it's building up in your system, but then again, it may still cause long-term damage. So they're saying, okay, well, we don't want to have any more than 0.1 parts per million, per billion, sorry. Even then, do we want to have children taking this? Do we want to have pregnant women taking this? Probably not. They might want to avoid it. And by the way, this is not all speculation. There actually have been cases of liver damage when taking Butterbur of various brands. So it is actually a real concern. How high the risk is a question. And of course, this is where the controversy comes in. As you can imagine, there's all this discussion about, okay, we can't trust the labels, we don't know which brand to trust, and even if we can trust the labels, how much is a safe amount? How often should we be taking this? Daily may be all right, but you might not want to take it more than a few months. But one thing stood out with all this testing. Again, we're talking about in the 2000s, okay, when Butterbur is really being studied intensely. The particular brand, Patadalex, forgive me, I do a lot more reading than I do listening. I hope I'm pronouncing that right. It's Petadolex. Patadolex. This was the brand, and I've mentioned it on the blog before, that stood out among all the rest. And actually, this brand was studied clinically. Also, it was found to actually contain what it said on the label, very, very low amounts of the dangerous chemicals, good quality amounts of the good ingredients, the active ingredients that you want. Over and over again, this one was recommended as the brand to take. It was manufactured in Germany, and Germany has very stringent regulations about the supplements there. So now it looked like, okay, we have a winner. This is what we should be taking. Let's flock to this. Now, unfortunately, I don't know how much flocking actually happened. There was a lot of, and there is, a lot of Butterbur brands out there. And, of course, you want to go, oh, well, let's just go with the cheap one. I can't afford a more expensive one. But this was a good recommended brand. Sounds great. Until 2009. So what happens in 2009? Well, the manufacturing process of this particular brand was changed. And it was actually taken off the market in Germany. It was not available. Now, I think just recently it's become available again. I could be wrong on that. That is my understanding. But It was no longer allowed to be sold in Germany because the manufacturing process had changed, and the question was, okay, does it still live up to the standards that it had before? Why did they change the process? Why? What has changed exactly? Where are the clinical trials for this new version? Because basically what happens is they change how they make it, and it becomes a slightly different product, and so it's basically a different supplement. So it has to be approved again in Germany to be allowed on the market again. So that is kind of where we're at now. I do not know exactly where the trials and tests and evidence is for the new version of Betadalex. Someone's laughing at me because I'm saying that wrong. I just know it out there. But anyway, you can leave a comment and tell me how to pronounce it. So that's the concern. Now, the controversy is actually quite large. So you've got countries, you have some countries that have basically a zero tolerance for this alkaloid. So it doesn't matter how many parts per billion, this product is not sold in that country. It is banned. It is not allowed. You can't get it. You have countries where this product is allowed, but then you have various organizations, some saying, yes, we recommend this, others saying, no, we don't recommend it. You've got particular doctors who are respected researchers. Some say, well, we recommend it. Others say, we don't recommend it. So the question really goes on, is it safe? And if so, which brand is safe? So it's very, very difficult. As you can see, there's a lot of complexity here. There's just the normal complexity that goes along with supplements in general. How beneficial is it to migraine patients? And then you've got the added questions of how much is safe for some of these alkaloids that are in the supplement. And then you've got the question of how long can I take those for? Can I take them if I'm a child, if I'm pregnant? Not likely to happen to me, but and there's some of you out there that are concerned about that and you want to have supplements that you can take when you're pregnant. Then you have, of course, the added question of which brand should I take? And even if a brand tests good this time, is it going to be good the next time? So this is a excellent example of the challenge that is out there with not just with supplements, but with other kinds of treatments as well. And this is and looking online, looking at some of the articles out there, you'll see, oh, there's lots of evidence for Butterbur. Compared to a lot of supplements, there's a lot of good evidence that it's helpful for migraine. But that testing was done essentially on a brand that may no longer exist. So that raises all kinds of questions. Now, a question some of you may be asking might be, well, what would you recommend then as far as Butterbur goes? Well, that's a difficult and complicated question, as you probably now can figure out. I think for me, a controversy like this, concerns like this, would put Butterbur further down on my list of things to try. Now, there are some doctors who will recommend Butterbur, and often what they'll do is they'll recommend Betadalex as a kind of the best option out there in the absence of good information. There are certainly other brands out there, and this is where I'm definitely not going to give you the answers. I do not have information about all of these brands and how they are at the present time. I know enough to know that there's a lot of concerns. You can't just trust the label. I would recommend, if you are looking into a particular brand, find out if they have any kind of independent clinical trials. They can make lots of claims, but do they have any kind of independent testing, I guess I should say, regarding exactly what is in the bottle? And not just a test of one bottle, but a proper test of several bottles, different locations, different dates, something that'll give you an idea if they have consistent quality. Now, unfortunately, you're not going to find that for the vast majority of supplements out there. Now, the advantage of the brand we've been talking about, at least, is it comes from a place that has certain amount of strict standards. I would recommend, if you really, really want to try Butterbur, go with a brand that you trust, that you know something about, and that has a good track record in the past, even if it isn't necessarily with Butterbur, but it's with other things. So we certainly have brands we've recommended at Headache and Migraine News in that regard. But again, it's difficult just to trust a label. And that's the challenge here. So at this present time, there's a wide variety of opinion. There are some organizations that are recommending, go ahead and try Butterbur, not enough of a concern, not enough of a risk to worry about. There's others that are warning against it and not allowing it. I was just reading an article from the makers of MigraLeaf, and they were saying, you know, we had the opportunity, we were developing some new products, we saw the good studies on Butterbur, and we had the opportunity to include this in some of our products. It would have been beneficial financially to include it in some of our products, and we decided, no, we are not going to use this at all. Because of the concerns, we just think the risks are too high, and you can read that article for yourself. So, how can we end, perhaps, on a more positive note? I think that there are lots of good supplements out there. There are other things you can try. Obviously, we've talked a lot about magnesium, and there's recommendations from myself and from others who have visited the site as far as which brands are good, which types are useful. There's Feverfew, there are various vitamins, there are mixtures, combinations of things, such as MigraLeaf, for example. So I will leave that for now, but there are lots of other good options out there as well. And again, this is not my recommendation to stay away from Butterbur at all costs. It is my suggestion that you think about things and research things for yourself. So I will try to leave some of the information that I've shared today in the show notes so you can check things out for yourself and start with your own research. There are lots of good options out there, but again, be careful, be safe. Don't just take something because you saw it on the news or Uncle Joe mentioned it to you. You just, in this day and age, you have to do your research and be careful. But that being said, I hope you find some good solutions, and I hope you have a healthy day. Thanks so much for listening to Headache and Migraine News, and we'll see you again soon.